Hello and welcome to the Camping Crew Podcast with Chris and Aaron.
Hi everybody and welcome to episode 154 of the Camping Crew Podcast. I'm Aaron Burchell.
And I'm Chris Byrne.
As always, it's meant to be a fun podcast. We're just enthusiasts and what we discuss on the podcast are just our own personal views, although we do look into things that you ask us to look into.
If you'd like to support the podcast and if you can afford to, you can buy us a coffee at ko-fi.com/thecampingcrew. I want to say a big thank you to Liam Kelly, John and Carmel, Doreen DiDoblo and Galdar for our recent donations.
So we'll kick off with some news and I think this is a good news story, Chris.
Yeah, there was an article in DonegalNews.com. It was released there on about five days ago. And the headline on the article is Camper Tourists Spend More Than 11 Million a Year. So the article says, I'll read a little bit of there. Tourists visit Donegal that stay in campervans, touring caravans and tents spend more than 11 million in the county annually, according to a new report. The caravan, camping and campervan study commissioned by Donegal County Council and carried out by consultancy firm KPMG was launched in the Silver Tassie Hotel in Letterkenny. The study looked at current provision across the county and found that the 11 million in revenue generated is estimated to support around 300 jobs in the tourism sector across Donegal. Now, if that's not an example to a lot of other counties, I don't know what is.
And that's just one county and not even a massive county. 11 million, 300 jobs is even the good news story there.
It's fantastic. And certainly if they build on it and you know, market it properly, other counties can avail of a slice of that too, you know.
Oh, please, God. I got good news, seeing that we're on the news subject. Fantastival 2022. I spoke to Louise, one of the organisers of Fantastival, because it's all over Facebook. We know it's coming back in September for two nights, but not as a festival, just more or less as a two-night concert venue. None of the shops and all the food vendors and all the clothing vendors and entertainment will be there. It's really just a two-night gig. But
same as last year, then, Aaron, I'd say.
Was it Christmas last year they did it?
No, September last year as well. They had right. 2 one-day events.
Same as that. And she said it is going to be happening, please God, fingers crossed, for summer 23. So she said tickets go on sale this Friday. She also said all the tickets will be online through the website or at eventbrite.com. Now, in recognition of support of the people who donated when cancelling the tickets because of COVID, without which, she went on to say, may not have been able to come back from the pandemic and have these two gigs, they're offering a discount to everyone who donated as part of their ticket price to the Festival of 2020. Discount codes will be sent out individually to donors in the next week or so. So anyone who donated should wait to receive their code before going online to buy the tickets. But they'll be available from the Fantastival and the Everbright website from this coming Friday. And over the weekend or early next week, you will have the rundown of what acts are going to be playing on the two-day event, and I cannot wait.
Yeah, no, it's a great festival. It's really well organised, and to particularly focus on Irish bands and acts and and that as well, which is great as well, to support kind of the amazing local talent we have in the country. We had a great crack there last September now, and the weather was fantastic. A couple of rainy sections, but sure that didn't put us off, and
no.
Really looking forward to getting back. So, and I'm gathering then no kids again this year.
I've an interview with her now, not this weekend because it's the bank holiday. It won't be on next week's show, but hopefully the following weekend. And that is one of the questions I'll put to her, because it's a scaled down thing. It may just be an adult only thing, but I have an interview with her. So in 2 weeks, which will be episode 156 of the podcast, I hope to have that interview with Louise on air for that. If you have any questions you'd like me to put to her, please do get in touch. We'll give you the contact details at the end of the podcast. But that and the Donegal news, it's a good way to start the show with good news stories.
Yeah, brilliant news. Two great news stories as well, yeah. A bit of online chatter as well. I know John O'Connor had asked the question about how many registered campervans and motorhomes in Ireland, and you did some research on that, Aaron.
Yeah, I was chatting with John. I had heard on an interview at the time I was doing the For My Things in Cork that there was about 16, 18, maybe even 20 registered motorhomes, and I put that in there. And then I did a bit of research, and he also, John, got in touch with the Motor Tax Office. And as of the 30th of April 2022, there are 16,769 registered motor caravan slash camper vans on logbooks in Ireland. So nearly 17,000.
Yeah, I suppose some campsites might be quieter during the busy periods than others, but I think like that 16,700 odd would be it's quite high. It's great to hear that.
That's not counting caravans. Like, remember, there could be 10,000 caravans or 5,000. You know, that's just motorhome and campervans.
But you've all the tourists coming down from the north. Mm-hmm. You've all people coming across from England and Europe and
France and
everywhere else. Should certainly beef that number up, I would say, at least into the 30,000s, you know.
It's going to beef it up to the extent that this bank holiday weekend, there are practically no pitches left in the country.
Yeah, that's how much,
and it's not even summertime yet.
Yeah, there's a lot of the busier places already fully booked out. But look, do shop around. There are campsites with pitches and places, and check out Aaron's videos for some suggestions. And there's the Motorhome Parking Ireland app, and there's the Camping Ireland. There's lots
you
of places.
You have to make the calls. I see on Facebook people saying anywhere 2 hours from Dublin. Google, sit down and make the calls. Now, I do know Banno Bay have spaces. And remember, we were covering this in a podcast a couple of weeks back, that don't forget inland and the southeast. Don't all be thinking, let's hit Cork, Galway, Kerry. You know, Wexford have some fantastic campsites. And as I say, Banno Bay is there. Roaches are there. I know Roaches are pretty busy this weekend. Walsh's are there in Wexford. So please do your homework. Do a bit of Googling. Make a few phone calls and you will get a pitch this weekend.
Yeah, and with a lot of those sites as well, you can try before you buy, thanks to Charlie and me.
Yeah.
You're going to tell us about another question we got via Instagram.
Yeah, Bri sent us a message on our Instagram regarding EU recovery insurance. Said, hi guys, have you done a podcast on EU insurance recovery for motorhomes? If not, it's really worth doing. It's really worth doing one because our situation is indicative of the reality of breaking down in Spain. And it's they're on Instagram at Heimerlife_travels on Instagram. We covered this briefly when we were talking about breakdown insurance. I think it was episode 135. Now, what I recall of that, I did ring the Motor Caravan Club because I used to have my repatriation insurance with them, with Montreal, and they're gone. Mondial, they're gone. There's practically nobody in Ireland doing repatriation breakdown insurance now. My insurance on the Heimer and on the Beba, I paid €40 extra for breakdown insurance. But what it covers me for is a mechanic to come on site and spend an hour trying to fix the van. If he can't fix the van, they will tow it to a local branded garage of your choice. And then it's down to you. Where 2 years ago, well, pre-COVID, I had insurance that a mechanic would come. If he couldn't fix it, we got a hired car and hotel covered. And the van was brought straight back to my door in Carrigonshire. Seemingly, you cannot get that. But we will do a little bit more of research into it. Again, if you guys know different, contact details coming up.
Yeah, and Bri had a problem there. I think he's travelling around Europe there, and he had a problem, I believe, with some wheel bearings on his van and broke down and had to get recovery. I believe he's sorted now, but his promo or intro profile on Instagram says, Irish guy travelling Henry de Heimer, around UK, Ireland, France and Spain. So a very active Instagram account if anyone wants to give him a follow there. Very useful tips, but just lots of pictures, lots of activity. It's worth following him vicariously and looking at his travels around Europe, you know.
But again, if you guys know that you did manage to get insurance, please do get in touch. We'll give you the contact details. Jamie was on to you about campsite charges.
Yeah, so we spoke about kind of the pricing on campsites and we had a discussion. Basically, we were saying last week, you know, if there's a campsite, and you should always check the price and understand exactly what it's going to cost you before you go. And, you know, if you don't like it, basically we're saying go somewhere else. It's as simple as that, you know. There are lots of different campsites, lots of different prices all across the country. Something for everybody. So Jamie is a campsite owner. He owns Strand Camping in Doonbeg. And he's also a camper himself. So I'll read his mail. It's very good, I think. He says, after listening to the last podcast, I thought I would give you an indication of why campsite charges may have increased this year. Of course, I cannot speak for every campsite, but when I hear the phrase rip off Ireland and that site owners are fleecing customers to line their own pockets, it does make me want to provide some context as to our campsite owners' expense. We all know that electricity charges have increased, but that doesn't solely impact on the hookup price. Also think about the lighting around the site, automated security barriers, Wi-Fi routers, CCTV, showers, washing machines, tumble dryers, heating of hot water in communal areas, camper kitchen, electrical gadgets and so on. Credit and debit card processing fees, he says, for example, with our provider, we will be paying this year 78% more per transaction for any cards registered in the UK. In February, we ordered toilet rolls and paper towels, and when we repeated the order in March, the price of those identical items had doubled. We have seen price increases for water, rubbish disposal, public liability insurance, general consumables. VAT rates were set to rise by 50% this year, thankfully deferred now to a later stage. Although we don't employ staff on a permanent basis, casual staff and ground maintenance costs have all increased. I could go on about the business increase in our price, but in reality, anyone resident in Ireland will have noticed their own personal cost of living bills have risen across the board. I would say that owning a campsite is a great job and generally very enjoyable, but at the end of the day, it is a business and we do need to make a profit. It's the same for any business. Even with those material increases, potentially the impact to upfront costs, camping is still a good value holiday and will provide many memories that will last a long, long time. Mm-hmm. Two bits of our own advice, and he said, we mentioned the first one last week. If inquiring about a campsite, don't just check the pitch price, ask for the total price. So factor in any extra person price, any extra charges for awnings, pets, showers, electricity, washing machines, etc. These extras can add up. Get a complete price for your stay before your stay. And remember that a motorhome is a home with a motor. So if you don't like it where you are, you can always move it. So I think that's pretty practical advice and very clearly explained there by Jamie Aaron.
What I like about it is Jamie is a motorhomer himself. He is a campsite owner and he's not bitching. He's just being real.
Yeah, it's all practical information. Yeah. Just you might forget about some of the costs and stuff that can be incurred as an owner. And, you know, as we said, there's different campsites out there providing different facilities, different prices, you know, and it is the campsite owner's prerogative to charge what they feel is a fair price. Yeah. And, yeah, you know, they're obviously going to, as Jamie said, they're running a business. So they want to attract as many people as possible, but also, you know, make a profit. That's what they're in business to do.
I spoke to two campsite owners over the past 6 or 8 campsites that myself and Charlie have been visiting for upcoming videos. We have a couple of trilogies coming up. One of the campsites charge €37 a pitch. Now, if that's just me, Deirdre and Charlie, it's €37. But if that's you and your three ladies, it's €37. So I can see where it's worthwhile for you to go there. And I argued, but it's just me or me and Deirdre. And they said, but we were getting complaints of £28 a pitch and then £6 a head. And they were going, why £6 a head? So they said, you can't please all of the campers all the time, which that goes to prove. But Jamie hit the nail on the head. There are hidden expenses. So you've heard me saying on numerous occasions, I don't think there's a campsite in Ireland worth €30. That's not true now because of the cost of living. And if you take everything that Jamie was saying in the background, street lighting, the toilet paper, the hand soap. So I'm going to stop saying there isn't a campsite in Ireland, in my opinion, worth €30 a night, because you get what you pay for. And if I reckon that it's not worth it, as he said at the very, very end, start the engine and move on.
Yeah, with everything that's going on in the world, I can see all of those energy costs going up and up. I can't see them coming down anytime soon.
No. And in fairness to campsite owners, with the cost of living going up at certain percentages, that increase is not fully been, in my experience over the past 6 weeks of doing 8 or 10 campsites, it's not been fully passed on to the camper. Not every campsite is out to line their own pockets. And I just think, Jamie, well done. Thank you for getting in touch. As always, you're there for us. And it's great to have a campsite owner's perspective. If there are any other campsite owners out there, and we know you listen to us because you've made us aware of this when we visit your campsite, if you have something to say, please get in touch and have a chat with us. We'd love to hear from you.
That's it. So we're moving over to campsites and stopovers now. And you have a review from us from Bill DeBongo.
Yes, Bill the Bongo was on about Loch Romer. Well, I was calling it Loch Rimmer. It's actually Loch Rammer, R-A-M-O-R. But if you remember, we covered it last week on Charlie and May, our camping vlog. It's in Cavan. He went, hi, Aaron and Chris. Firstly, I'd like to say what a brilliant and informative podcast and website you both have. I am a total newbie to the camping scene and have taken so much from yours and your listeners' advice and recommendations. I've been binging on the Camping Crew podcasts on the bus to and from work recently, and I'm loving it so far. Keep up the good work. I heard you mention in your last podcast about Loch Rimmer camping, and we, myself, three sons, Andrew, 13, Dunica, 9, Cara, who's 7, and my mother and sister, all did our first ever night away last weekend in our newly acquired camper van, Bill the Bongo. It's a Mazda Bongo, and it came with a host of extras for family camping, including an awning and trailer. And he actually sent us on a photograph of said setup, and it does look very good. Loch Rimmer is only 30 minutes from our house, so only a short hop down the road. We were a little apprehensive at first, as there was no electric hookup, but we didn't miss it in the end, as it was only for one night. Anyway, on arrival, we had never set up camp or the awning before, and it was proving a little tricky. However, we had a visit from Pat, the owner, who very kindly helped us and gave us a one-to-one lesson on attaching and pitching up air awnings, which was way easier than I was making it look, LOL. Before long, we were all set up thanks to Pat, and the barbecue was going, the kids were paddling in the lake and beginning to explore. As the day went on, we did some kayaking and fishing, and we made s'mores over the log fire in the fire pit. I have genuinely never seen my children laugh as much together as they did on this first trip. Not a tablet or phone in sight. Some real core memories were made. Each of the kids gave the trip a 20 out of 10. We all slept like babies and cannot wait for our next trip. We have more trips booked to Nagels and Doolin, Loch Ree East in August, based on Aaron's recommendations and his vlog. And our next outing is to River Valley in Wicklow in a few weeks. Fingers crossed for the weather. Thank you, Aaron and Chris, and to all your listeners for the advice and recommendations. We're hooked. We hope to see you on the road someday. Many safe travels, Aaron and family. That is brilliant. Yeah. A brilliant review.
A great review there from your namesake, Aaron. All right. And I'm going to say a big hello to the kids there. Who was it? Andrew, Donica and Cahar as well. So look, many years of camping ahead by the sounds of it.
Yeah, we have said this before. I watch your kids and the Camping Crew kids and the memories I've turned around to do. My lad is 29 and I was only talking to him yesterday about camping and memories. Those kids are going to have a blast. The Bongo with the pop-up roof and the awning looks like a great setup. So well done, guys. What I would ask you to do, would you log on to campsitereview.com and register in the forum? And in a day or two, you'll have access to maybe leave reviews of campsites that you've stayed on. And I'm not just saying it to Aaron and family. I'm saying it to all of the listeners. Campsite Review is building up. And okay, myself and Charlie will do the video reviews, but we want your opinion as well. Even if it disagrees with a previous forum comment, please give us your reviews. Log on to campsitereview.com. We've a free forum there and we'd love your views on anything, not just campsites. You'll see when you get on, we tell you about it every week. But again, Aaron and family and kids, enjoy. And if you do see us on a campsite, please call over and say hi.
Yeah, now, if you do leave a review on the campsite review, we might even read it on the podcast as well.
Yeah, so we really do appreciate it. So speaking of Charlie and me, this morning, Chris, I put up an info video on the weights as we were talking about it in episode 148. If you remember, we were saying people were being pulled over now, generally on the side of the road by the guards or the RSA, however, their vans were being weighed and unknown to them, they were overweight and getting fined. So I took it upon myself. I'm not going to tell you all about it. Check out the video, youtube.com/Charlie and me, our camping vlog. And you'll see the video where I went down, weighed the van, came back, stripped it of unnecessary crap that was in the boot, weighed the van again for this weekend. We'll be heading off and you'll see the results of the weighing. And on that, you know, we post in all the Facebook groups, a couple of people were posting comments and saying, but you're Aaron, you have a C1 license. It doesn't matter if your van was 4 ton. If your van is a 3.5, we call it 3,500 kilos, but we call it 3.5 ton. If your van is a 3.5 ton and you've got every license in the world, including a pilot's license, if it's over 3.5 ton, you're breaking the law. buy a bigger van. That's the only advantage of having a C1 license. I also found out from Tim on one of the Facebook groups literally 40 minutes ago. He said, Aaron, the amount of vans that come in for DOE is overweight. And I went, Tim, have you anything to do with that? Or do you, can you like say to the owner, your van's overweight, you want to be looking into that? He said, no, but we can fail you for driving a van overweight on the axles. Watch the video to the very end and you'll know what I'm talking about, axles. Please, 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 I got a fright. Be careful loading your van before you head off for a trip.
So that's it. And what's coming up on Friday then?
Friday sees the start of our Mayo trilogy with thanks to our friends at Happy Turf Conversions. I go to Baleek Caravan and Camping Park. That's this Friday, youtube.com/ Charlie and Me Are Camping Vlog. Part one of a trilogy over the next three Fridays.
That's where the plates come from, Aaron, is it?
No, it's not actually now. It's not, funny enough. I think that's up northern. Up north I thought that too. That's the first thing I said to Deirdre, but no, she proved me wrong on that one. But no, it's a nice campsite. It's a friendly one. The chap actually who owns it is, like I said, like Jamie listens to us. He actually listens to the podcast and watches the videos. So this Friday, the next one as part of the trilogy is Westport House. And then the one after that is an Air in Clare Morris. So watch them over the next 3 weeks. YouTube.com/ Charlie and Me Are Camping Vlog at 9 a.m.
Great. So you have a little camping hack. I see you've added to the notes there as well from one of the viewers on YouTube.
Yeah, it was a comment that came up. Again, YouTube, we're broken into. We're on series 5 now, but there's obviously the van build and there's the Overlander build. But there's an info videos on the playlist. And we spoke about, I did a review, and I must actually redo it, about the chemical toilet tablets and the chemicals that you put in your toilet. And Robert McFarland, now this is going back, this video must be nearly 3 years old. He recommends to keep the loose smells at bay, put a toilet block at the back of the toilet cassette. Now, I think he may mean the toilet bowl. You know, the ones you'd actually hang, I don't know why I'm asking you, I should be asking the missus. You actually hang them in your toilet bowl, so when you flush, it gives a nice odour with the water. I think they're the ones that he's talking about. Put a toilet block, like the ones you hang on the loo at home. Because sometimes, if your toilet has been busy, when you flip open the trap to do your business, a bit of a smell might come up. And that wood may help at least numb that smell just a little bit.
Yeah, and I'd say if you're going to do that, my tip would be to get one that's environmentally friendly, because yeah, you know, some campsites would only take the green chemicals, but if you just get the ones that are
just
septic tank safe and chemical free, you're going to do chance of you doing less damage to your cassette as well.
There's a lot of campsites, possibly newer campsites, but a lot of campsites now saying, what color tabs do you use? I've swapped. Actually, you'll see in the video from this morning, I found three bottles of the blue that I didn't know I had. And I'm out there buying a load of bottles of the green. We've started using the green, but I'm going to
I've switched over to green as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I think actually I said it because you bought them in Halfords and I went in and I bought three bottles to you today. So, yeah, bear in mind, if you are going to hang something in your toilet, in the toilet bowl, make sure it's environmentally friendly, because you're kind of defeating the purpose if you're using the green in the cassette and then letting all sorts of chemicals wash into that.
Right, so that was an interesting podcast. I think we'll close it out on a little tip that I came across yesterday on Instagram. I see Kayleigh O'Dowd, who we interviewed recently, and Diary of a Van on Instagram were both kind of sharing a post and a recommendation for pee.ie. And basically, the spiel from the campsite is, welcome to pee.ie. It's a definitive list of public toilets in Ireland. It's a shared Google map. So once you open on your phone, you click the square in the top right corner and you can refer back to it whenever you need. But basically, you can save an icon on your desktop or your phone screen, home screen. Basically, if you're out traveling and you're not staying in campsites, you want to be able to use toilets and stuff like that, p.ie will give you the list of all the different public toilets around. So, for example, if you were heading to, Tramore or somewhere, you'll get a list of what's local in Tramore if you ever needed to use a public toilet. Just a very useful little tip.
I came across that on one of the interviews I was doing last summer about campsites, and the chap who actually invented the app was on, and RTE were getting a great laugh out of saying that you actually went and did a survey on public toilets. And he went, yeah, people want them. And then he said, you're going to be talking to campers. It's great for the camping fraternity. And the name p.ie, p.ie, again, hits the nail right in the head. Does exactly what it says on the app.
Yeah, it reminds me of that website that was created for the cinema goers called Run P. Tells you when are the quiet parts in the movies to go and take a pee.
No way. Yeah. I have a book that I had for my radio show years ago. Seriously, it's as thick as the Bible, if not thicker, on the where people pause to look at skin. You know where, and one that sprung to mind was Madonna's Vogue video, seemingly like at 4 minutes 38.3 seconds, you'll actually see her boob where she lifts her arm. And it was a book of every movie in the world that has skin that shouldn't be there. And you pause it to the 0.3 of a second.
I think that's a step too far, Lauren. You might have to edit that bit out at the end.
Not at all.
Listeners don't need to hear things like that on this clean podcast.
On this clean podcast. Speaking of listeners, guys, we love to get your messages, your ideas, campsite suggestions, your reviews, your podcast, on anything that we've discussed in the podcast. Like, today's show was literally thanks to you guys. Remember, we've got stickers for your motorhome, your camper van, or your caravan, or your car. We need your name, your address, and your air code or your postal code in Northern Ireland or the UK or anywhere else. But to do that, you've got to get in touch with us. And do you know who has all of our contact details off to a T? Chris has.
To get in touch with us, you can reach out on the webpage, it's thecampingcrew.ie. Our email address is campingcrewpodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, we're at thecampingcrew. On Instagram, we're at the Camping Crew Podcast. You'll find us messaging each week, once a week, on all the good camping and motorhome groups about the actual podcast. Forum-wise, then, you'll find us at motorhomecrack.ie or boards.ie. Motorhomecrack.com or boards.ie.
And, of course, we're on campsitereview.com, which I've asked you, please look at joining the forum. It's absolutely free and always will be. And we will use some of your reviews from campsites on future podcasts. And every Friday, some Wednesdays with info videos, but every Friday, youtube.com/CharlieandMe, our camping vlog. We have the trilogy starting in May this Friday. We have a trilogy starting that covers Meath, Dublin and Wexford. Following that, and we'll have loads of videos made between now and then too, please God. Take care of yourselves. If you do see us on a campsite, please do call over and say hi. That is episode 154 from me, Aaron Birchall. Stay safe.
Yeah, and it's a goodbye for me as well, Chris. And just remember, bank holiday weekend out there now. Every camper in the country, I'd say, is going to be on the road. So take it easy. Take your time. You'll get there eventually. No rush. Get there safe. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please give us a subscribe and a follow and tell your camping friends all about us.
Well, that's it for another podcast from The Camping Crew. Thanks for listening, and do join us again very soon. Safe camping.